in the midst of a troubling time. There's the people that are against him. There are enemies that are fighting him. He's probably conscious of his own personal failure and sin, which is huge. And he says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Have you gazed upon the beauty of the Lord today? And the challenge of that question is in the midst of the realities of life, the enemy that comes against us every day, the world, the flesh, the devil. In the midst of what we see and what buffets our minds and our feelings all around us. And we know even in family, one moment you're gazing at someone looking at a child and it's beautiful, and that minute that child is crying for milk. Of course, that's still beautiful, but it's also troubling. And so our inner world is often disturbed with currents that are up and down and up and down. Doubts, fears, uncertainty. And what does the psalmist do in the midst of that? He chooses to focus on the beauty of God. I know times in leadership with a mission community on board the Doulos where we were just no idea how we would face certain challenges, a huge storm. And I found often in those times together with the captain and the team on board that we just wanted to worship and say, "Lord, you're beautiful. In the midst of this challenge, you're beautiful. We look to you." Psalm 96:6 says, "Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary." There's something that touches the heart. And this psalm, in Psalm 27, and this verse 4 in particular, it really speaks of the substance of God's presence. It's beautiful. In 1 Chronicles 16:11, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence," or seek his face continually. Seek his face, look into his face. See his beauty. Psalm 62, verse 1, and later in verse 5, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation." The beauty of silence. When you gaze, "One thing I desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord." And to gaze means you're looking and not speaking. And so many of us are making a commentary on the life of Christ, but we're not learning to pause. I think last time I spoke about rest. And in the midst of that rest, to gaze into who God is and what God is doing. And where do you find that? In his word. We have to learn to slow down. And I believe, and I believe you believe, that the word of God is that strength in all of our lives, that it is soaked with the Holy Spirit. And every time you open the Word of God and open your heart to gaze, you're gazing into the beauty of Jesus. So you gather for your early morning worship, you gather now. The Holy Spirit is prompting different hearts to turn to the Word, to refocus, to see things in a fresh way with a new filter of his life, guiding us in how we should live. It says to gaze upon his beauty and to listen, to inquire in his temple. You know, inquire means I'm asking some questions of God. And the great thing about that, as you gaze into his beauty, you trust him, you trust his beauty. He's precious, he's your salvation. It means you can ask him any question, even the silly ones. You can ask him. But even that posture is a posture to listen, not to tell. It's a posture of Samuel. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Not listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. And so often we rush into the speaking mode, the telling mode. And we have to learn to have a posture of gazing into his beauty, silence, and a posture of listening into his word. And you gaze into who he is and what he's saying about himself and what he wants to do. And then God may bring scripture, may bring even a picture, may bring things to your heart that he wants you to pay attention to. But in order to do that, we have to learn to pause and to gaze and to inquire in his presence. In our Ministry of Operation Mobilization in East Asia, we have about 400 or so missionaries working across that area involved in seeing vibrant communities of Jesus where there are none, where there is no church. It's the gospel, and they have beautiful feet as they bring the gospel. But their feet get dusty, and they have a few human conflicts with one another and the realities they face. So what do we encourage them to do? Stop. Learn to do what Jesus did and draw aside. Be silent and listen to Father. Look into his heart. See his love for yourself and see his love for one another. We did that this morning as we broke bread together. So as we go through this passage, I just want to bring a few thoughts, and it's not really in depth, but just some practical thoughts about gazing into the beauty of the Lord. Verses 1-3, let's just read that. Now, maybe before we go through it, I want to, step by step and to open it up, I want to pause and do what I've just encouraged us to do, to gaze and to listen. So I'd like you to close your Bibles. We're not doing a study. You're not analyzing how this all fits together and how you can prepare your next sermon or all that kind of thing. But we want to listen to Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us now, in this moment, believing we are the house of the Lord, not the building, but the people. We are his sanctuary. He is the precious cornerstone. He is the treasure, and we are the fragile clay. And we need to focus as fragile clay on what he wants to say to us. So I'm going to read this through probably 2 or 3 times, we'll see. I just want you to say, look, Lord Jesus, I'm listening. I'm gazing. And it might be, don't, as you go through, take off your analytical mind, which makes you objective, but put on a receptive heart, just how the psalmist is, where you want to hear. Is there just a verse? And whatever I'm reading, you might find the Holy Spirit just highlights one word, one phrase, one part. Stay there and allow that to be something that God sinks some truth that may be relevant for whatever enemy, whatever internal struggle that you might be facing today. So let me just read this. You can close your eyes. Just feel relaxed. Don't go to sleep. Just feel relaxed. This is the word of God. The Lord is the light, and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arises against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servants away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but God will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. It's moments of silence. What does God bring to your attention? The Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamped against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation, for my father and my mother have forsaken me. But the Lord will take me in. But the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversary, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Father, we open our hearts to your beauty, to the treasure of your Son, to the precious cornerstone, to your life-giving word. And we wait, we trust, we ask you to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, and I may have shared this story with you, just on that theme of weight and beauty, Anne and I, with Esther, were travelling to the ship Logos Hope to be on board with the community, and we turned up at an airport in Gatwick, and Anne and Esther had booked their tickets in one place, or we had booked them in one place, and my ticket was booked later. We got to the desk, and the lady behind the desk gave the boarding pass to Anne and to Esther. Then she looked at me and said, "Mr. Hay, this is not a ticket." I said, "Yes, it is." She said, "No, it's not. You pressed the print button, not the confirm button. This is just a piece of paper." So she sent me off to another desk around the corner. And I had to wait and wait. Have you had this happen to you? I discovered I had to pay money. I discovered that they had to work out how that should all happen, and this lady behind a desk. And I feel this anger rising. I don't know if you had that experience, that anger rising in my heart. I'm not sure if I'm angry with the lady, angry with myself, who made the mistake, who am I going to blame? All of that was happening. Then my beautiful wife, Anne, comes over. Just to help you understand, when we first met in India, I walked past her in the doorway and I thought, wow, beauty just walked past me. And then I'm speaking at this meeting, and the men are one side and the women on the other side, and he's an angel in the midst of all the women. It's Anne. Wow, beauty is in front of me. So she comes and stands now at the side of me. The lady pulls down her glasses. She takes a good look at me and a good look at Anne. And she says to Anne, "Don't worry, darling. Your dad knows what he's doing." So from a moment of ugliness turned into a moment of beauty. Moments of beauty, because the anger left and we just relished in that little moment of recognize. You recognized beauty. First, 1-3, that we gaze into the beauty of his deliverance. Salvation, the light of my salvation. Christ has shone into our hearts the glory of God. Even though the devil has tried to blind our minds, it's broken by the power of the cross. Light has shined into your heart. That's beautiful. He's a stronghold of your life. Nothing can shake. You're protected by him. That's beautiful. He is your security. Whatever they come, the enemy comes against you in all kinds of ways. It all backfires. Because he's your security. He's your salvation. He's your strength. He's your security. Those first three verses, look at them. Listen to them. Find strength in the beauty of his word. Just that simple thought, for God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts, light of our salvation, to give the light of our knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And then verse 4, as we've already reflected, is about the beauty of together. In the sanctuary, we are the sanctuary, dwelling in the presence of God. And I have at times had leaders together where we've spent days just being in God's presence with His Word, just silent and listening. And we've had this tangible sense as we've been there together, like His sanctuary and Spirit among us, only focused on His Word, that silence really opens your heart to the substance that God is here. God is here. And we trust Him, and He shows you things. I remember one time I had this little dream in the midst of that time, and I dreamt of coming into this room, and there's a beautiful table full of light, and there I felt was a figure, was Jesus, and these people gathered, and there's an empty chair. Do you know my first inclination was to pick up the broom and sweep the floor? And then that chair, the person on the chair, invited me to come. That's for you. That's beautiful. You're beautiful. So many of God's people are picking up the broom to be His servant. And there's a time for that. But He first wants us to come and sit and gaze next to Him, into His heart, into His beauty. The beauty, firstly, the beauty of His deliverance, salvation, strength, security. Secondly, the beauty of dwelling in His presence, silence, listening, inquiring. But you don't stay there. Then is the beauty of declaring His beauty, His praise. Because it says for verse 5 and 6, "For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon the rock." He's no longer silent. He's now shouting and declaring this beauty of who God is. "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me." Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is Alpha and Omega. And I will offer in His tents sacrifices with shouts of joy. Maybe we should become a bit Pentecostal at times. Silent reflection, and are we courageous enough to shout out to the Lord if the Spirit touches? Don't get too emotional, but at least be unsettled at times when God shows you His beauty and you can't stop but shout His praise. It's beautiful. And be unsettled. I've been in prayer meetings where I just want to mumble the Australian prayer, and the Africans, they want to shout because they've already seen the beauty and what God is doing. So what did I do? Well, they didn't hear me tell them to stop praying, so I just joined them in shouting. And it was no harm to my soul. It was good to my soul to do that. Sometimes the form gets in the way of the substance of the heart. And fourth point. As you praise and as you glory and as you glaze His beauty, you suddenly, like Isaiah, become aware, wow, God, there's stuff here. It needs to be dealt with. It comes to the surface because light is shining on it. And so the next is the beauty of totally depending on His grace. We have nothing to bring to the table of the Lord. We're still clay. He is the treasure. And so in verse 7, He says, "Hear, Lord," and He's now a different kind of shout. Yes, He's praising, but now He's a shout aloud, "Be gracious to me and answer me." It's beauty of total dependence on relentless grace. God giving to us that salvation, God giving to us that life, God giving to us that hope, that certainty. As you focus in the midst of the storm, you focus on Him. And then there's the beauty of discovery of who He is. "You have said, seek my face." Your face, my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. You have said, seek my face. Turn. Seek. In the midst of it, stop. Be silent. Listen. And then shout. The shout of praise and the shout of confession. But then come back and discover more about Jesus at that moment. Just like Isaiah. He looked in and saw this glory and he was undone. And then he heard this word. And he said, here am I. And he had beautiful feet. And so you move from dependence into that deep discovery of something that God wants to say to you as you seek his face. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, or you have been my help. And then from that point, we have this, verse 11. You now know his deliverance. You're dwelling in his presence. It's holy, and you are holy. You've learned to declare his glory. You are depending on his grace. You have discovered something about him and about yourself and what he wants to do. And then you discover the beauty of seeking his direction. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. They breathe out violence. Teach me your way, O Lord. So as you gaze into his beauty, the beauty of discovering his will and his direction. And then the final thought, verse 13. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. It's the beauty of his delay. The beauty of his delay. Things are not happening in answer to your prayer. Things don't seem to be working out in the world around you. And that you have this hope, I believe I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. And I think we've just got Commonwealth Games going on in Australia, and I noticed Australians are really excited because they're winning all these medals. And I hear you can hardly find it on TV here in Canada, but I do understand Canadians are also winning some medals there. But you think of the athletics, and you think of that race, and they've trained well, and they're standing on the start lane, or they're ready on the start lane, and they're waiting. They're poised to run. All their strength is there, ready to go. But they don't move. And often as a church, we want to rush into something, a great vision, but is it a vision for God or is it a vision from God? And at that point, when you wait and you gaze into his beauty, you inquire in his temple, you lay everything aside and you just declare his praise, you depend on his salvation, his grace, you discern his ways as you seek his face, then the gun goes off. You know it's your time to run your race. So I just want to encourage you to take time to slow down, and pay attention, gaze into his beauty, work out the questions that you need to be asking God in this season of your life. And then get back to the word. Allow him to guide your heart so your steps will follow his ways. Amen. Thank you. Let me pray for you as we close. Father, we thank you for your love, that we right now are the dwelling place of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you're here. And we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you, as Stephen said, that yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus Christ is the same. You are Alpha and Omega. You're our solid rock, unshakable. Our confidence is in you and in this treasure of your presence, the precious stone, the cornerstone of this building, given by the Father, that we might be built up as a living temple of your presence on earth, so that people in this nation, in Ghana, people in other nations, in China, people would see the beauty of the Lord in the community of his people. And now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, including ours, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Downstairs for lunch and onwards into our week and the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name.